There it is. Okay, cool. Well, it's always a real honour for me to share the word with you guys. I'm always very humbled when I get to do that. And I know that the afternoon crowd is always the hungry crowd, so I like speaking to you guys. There you go. Yep, that was a compliment to you guys. And, you know, we've been looking at a passage in Psalms 103, verse 1 to 5. It's going to come up on the screen. We're going to read it to start. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Beautiful. That's our key passage for this year. We're looking at a few different topics on that. Obviously, we've just finished looking at He forgives. We're now looking at He heals. And if I'm honest, when I saw that I was down to speak on He heals, I was like, oh, a lump in my throat. I think that could be tough. I understand that sometimes when we start talking about healing, that can stir certain emotions in people. Sometimes they're not always good. Sometimes they are good, but sometimes it stirs up hurt, it stirs up unmet expectations of God maybe. And so I was a bit unsure. But you know what? God put a word in my heart, and I'm going to speak tonight. I've been in pastoral care for more than 8 years here at this church. I've been in leadership for more than 25. I've had done my fair share of sitting at the hospital and praying with people, or going to people's houses who are terminal, and I've gone and seen people all the way up till they've died at the house. I've got lots of stories. I'm a storyteller, so I'm going to share some stories tonight. Is that cool? I want to talk about two things mostly, and the first one is that God heals, but He doesn't always heal how I think He's going to heal. And the second thing I want to look at is how do I respond when He doesn't heal how I think He was going to? Yeah, let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we love You. Lord, I thank You that You died for us on the cross, that through You I can walk with God. Father God, I thank You that through You all things were created. The world that we stand in was created by You. Holy Spirit, we just ask that You would be here tonight. And I want to say that we trust You completely, Holy Spirit, as You stir the crowd tonight, Lord God, as You move through and touch people, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would touch people and change things tonight, situations. In Your name, amen. I kind of think when we think about healing, we think about physical healing. And I want to talk about holistic healing because I think that that's what God would want to talk about. Spirit, mind, and body healing, not just physical healing. And in my experience, I guess for me, the more mind-blowing healings I've seen have been inside, deep inside. People being healed of rejection that they've had for 40 years. Seeing God heal relationships that have been broken down for a long, long time. To see Him rebuild things that have been destroyed and burn up. To see Him bring couples back together that, if I'm honest, in the naturalness of me, we'd go, this is never going to work. These guys are never going to get back together. But to see God come and heal hurts within a couple and bring them back together, I've seen it. Yeah. And so surely I would think God heals, yes, I've seen Him heal that way. Can I come down here? Yeah. I'm going to cruise around a little bit. Well, you did a great job tonight. Thank you. Really proud of you. Woo! Yeah. Good. About a month ago, I went and visited someone at the ICU as a man. And he was very, very sick. And I remember going to see him, and he was behind the glass door in isolation. And they don't send you to ICU to have a holiday. You're there because you're really sick, yeah? And I had to get suited up, and the nurse said, you can't touch him. Make sure you stand away from him because we don't know what's wrong with him. Wow, that's good. And so in I go, and I pray with him. He was coherent, but not really. And so I didn't really have a good conversation because he couldn't talk to me. But I did pray for him, and I said, we're standing and believing with you, mate, that this is going to work out okay. And I walk out and I talk to the nurse, and I said, oh, how is he actually doing? And I started trying to find out a little bit more, and she said, he's very, very sick, and we don't actually know what's wrong with him yet. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I might try and come and see him next week. And she said, again, he's very, very sick. We're not sure whether he might be here next week. Wow, that's pretty sick. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. Because we're still trying to work out what's wrong before we can even fix. And so, you know, there was a whole pile of people praying. And, you know, we have a good church community. We were praying and believing that God was going to do stuff. And so, but in the back of my mind, what that nurse said was ringing in the back of my mind. Even though I'm praying and believing that God's going to heal him. Yeah? Because that's what we do. God's faithful. And I've seen him work before and do stuff, amazing things. And so I want to tell you, he was there the next week, but they had to put him in a coma to start to fix him. And they worked out what was wrong, and then they had to start to fix. But the following week, I went to his house and had a cup of coffee with him that he made for me. Now, I know that I trust in medicine. I trust in doctors, all that sort of stuff. But I can still remember the nurse saying that to me. We don't think he's going to be here next week. That just rocked me a little bit. But how good is God that he is healthy and he's over it all now? And that was only maybe 6 weeks ago or something like that. I just think that's powerful. Around the same time, another man was having a routine inspection where men have them. And something happened, and they perforated a part. And so he didn't realise, and they said, you're going to be a bit uncomfortable for a little while, and you might have a few side effects, you might feel a bit sick and a bit off. Yeah, okay. So then the next day, he's feeling off, he's really, really off, because things are going into his blood system, and he has his septicemia, but they don't know that. And so he gets rushed to the doctors, to the hospital, because his wife realises that there's something more going on. And so there's only just recent stories. Like I said, I've got 25 years of stories I could share. But they're trying to work out maybe he's had a reaction to some sort of medication they give him. So they give him all his other medication. And he's getting worse and worse and worse. And it just happened, and this is where I think God comes into the equation sometimes, because a lot of people were praying, because I was praying at this stage because I got told about it. And there just happened to be a doctor there that actually realised, even though there was other doctors not realising, that he had septicemia. He wasn't even supposed to be there that day. He just happened to call in to see a patient that he'd done an operation on the week before. Now, coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. A whole pile of us are praying and believing that something amazing would happen, and that's amazing. And so he works that out, and yes, he's still sick for a while, but he gets out of hospital. I get to see him at home. And so I come into the home. He's got all these tubes on him still because they're still injecting him straight into the heart with antibiotics. Yeah, and a nurse was coming every day. And he's very shaken up about it, but his wife sits down with us and she says, do you know what happened to me at work today? It's the first thing she says to me. And I said, no, what? I have no idea what would happen to you at work today. And she said, I got to work and a huge bunch of flowers came. And she thought, someone said, oh, they're for you. And she goes, oh, good on you. That doesn't happen to me. And I think, it is for me. This huge bunch of flowers from my husband. And she said, we've been married more than 40 years. He's never, ever bought me flowers before. Could that be that God's bringing some reconciliation and a stirring into their marriage, which he wouldn't even know, but she'd only prayed with me a few months before, that there would be a new closeness between him and her, that they weren't, you know, getting divorced or anything like that, but the kids had all moved out and they needed a new closeness. That's what she was praying for. And I'm not going to tell you that God created this sickness, but I think it happened, and he thought, this is the opportunity to bring a whole new level of closeness to this couple. Is that greater healing? Now, he got healing as well, physical, but something else happened inside that I think is even better and even bigger. This is how God works. there was a young guy that came out for prayer not that long ago as well, a few weeks ago. I was standing right about here, and he stepped forward and started asking me he wanted to pray for some things on him, with himself. I know that his dad has cancer, terminal. And then he says, I'm about to pray, and he goes, can we pray for my dad too? Now, something that I've learned over the years is that I don't take things for granted just because I know things, and that he's going to want me to pray that his dad gets healed of cancer. But what he says is, my dad needs to know Jesus because he doesn't know him. So that's what we pray for. And we didn't even pray for the cancer. Now, you might think that's slack. I've just learned over the years not to be arrogant, to think that I know more than what God does. I know that the bigger need for this man is that he knows Jesus. I've sat with men who are dying and who end up dying who know Jesus, who walk with him. And I've also sat with men who don't know Jesus. It's a completely different kettle of fish. People who know Jesus get to a point that, yes, they're praying and believing for stuff, but then they get to a point and there's this peace that's beyond understanding. I don't understand it. Comes over them. And they're just at total peace that they're going to be with God soon. And so they start praying things like, can you pray that my family will have peace? That my family will understand? They're praying for that. More than they're praying for the healing. Now, I'm sure that they'll take the healing if it comes. But it all changes. And it's all different. And I just know that God thinks differently about how we would think about healing. He thinks differently about healing. Yeah? He's looking at bigger picture healing, and it's not always about what this body is. Yeah? You know, all the people that Jesus healed in the Bible died at some stage. Yeah, he might have healed them then, but they ended up dying somewhere along the line. And that's the great common denominator for all of us. Yeah? That, yes, I think Jesus does heal our body, but I think that he wants to holistically heal us. Yeah? I want to look at a passage in Mark 2 and verse 1 to 11. I like reading the Bible, so I'm going to read a bit of the Bible tonight. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're Christians, yeah? All right, so Mark 2, 1 to 11, it says, a few days later when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking and in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say to him, get up, take your mat and walk? And which is what he does. He stands up and he walks out of there. And I like that. It wasn't that Jesus didn't know that he was paralyzed, because he even said in his sentence, it was easier to say to this paralyzed man that his sins are forgiven or get up and walk. But I think that he realized that the bigger thing that he needed was his sins forgiven. I think sometimes, you know, I've had to realize that too. You know, sometimes we're so passionate about someone getting healed, but like I just said before, I've always learned to say to people, what are we praying for today? I had a good friend, and I know he's a friend of many people here, who passed away. His name was Graham Evans. And I saw him probably 50 times before he died. Not every single week, because he had a long illness, you know. It was funny, but he taught me a lot, and that seems weird because I was already in pastoral care, but I would go there and we'd chat about lots of things and have a coffee, and then I'd say, before I go, I'm going to pray for you, Graham. And he'd go, oh, wait, first I want to pray for you. And I'd go, okay. And then he would say, what am I praying for? And I learned when I went there that this was part of his healing process to go, that he wanted to be able to pray for me as well and believe for things for me. And so I would go there with things for him to pray for. But it made us closer, I guess. But it taught me a whole lot that there was such a peace over him that was beyond understanding. And he would ask me, sometimes, I go, what are we praying for, Graham? And he'd go, oh, I'm praying for the Prime Minister. We're going to pray for the kids' school. We're all praying for lots of things. And sometimes, I honestly, look, and I hope you don't think badly of me, but I would leave when I didn't pray for him to get healed right then and there. I was obviously praying other times for him. But I kind of thought, if he didn't tell me he wanted me to pray for that, then I kind of just thought that was arrogant of me to pray differently what he'd want me to pray for. Everyone's really getting quiet. But it really taught me a lot that that God knows what's going on, and sometimes I don't understand it, but that's okay. Yeah? The next thing I want to look at is how do I respond when Jesus heals differently than I think he would? I want to look at a passage, and it's going to go for a while, but you'll know the story. It's John 11, and I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Man, she must have really loved Jesus, yeah? Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. I guess similar to what we do when we pray. Yeah? God, my friend, he's looking like he's really bad, and he's really, really sick. We need you to come. We need you to touch. And in verse 11, we pick it up again. It says, he says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping. But Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. It says, when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, only a few miles down the road. But Mary stayed in the house. I'm going to stop there just for a second. I want to keep reading, but Martha runs out to meet him. But Mary, the lady that smashed expensive perfume on his feet and wiped it with her hair, crying and all that at his feet, that lady that was in love with Jesus now is not going to go out and meet him. And I got to think, maybe Mary was a little bit offended that Jesus didn't turn up how she thought he was going to, that you know, Lazarus wouldn't die, that he'd be revived and healed, and it didn't happen. So she's gutted inside. I know that Mary's not the only one that's been in that place. Yeah, and so she's probably trying to process the fact that now Jesus has turned up, too late. What are you doing? Good on you, you know? I trusted in you. This really speaks to me about watching my attitude or how I feel when Jesus doesn't heal or come through like I thought he would. As we keep reading, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. It's about salvation, yeah? This is the biggest need, yeah? Everyone who lives in me and believes me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into this world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and he wants to see you. So Mary went to see him. Doesn't say how long it took her to get there. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people who were there at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there, and when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. I like that. It's strange that he says, a deep anger welled up inside of him. Interesting. We don't think that Jesus gets angry, only when he's kicking people out of the temple for selling stuff, but it's another time that he gets angry. And I got to wonder that, you know, that maybe her belief system had needed healing. Yeah? And sometimes I think when we've had a loss or a hurt or God didn't come through like I thought he was, then Yes, maybe we need to have salvation. Maybe he's got to come in and do some inner healing in us within. Now, you know what? Lazarus lives. Jesus calls him out of the tomb and he lives. So everything that Mary was believing for and was praying for or seeking God for happened. But it had to go through this speed hump of I'm hurt, God. I'm sure I'm not the only one that would be here tonight that would say, I've had to think those thoughts sometimes. Now, I remember one time I talked about Graham Evans and I took Connor, my son, with me at one time as a learning experience for him. He was listening to me and I didn't pray for him to get healed. And he commented on that when we got in the car. He said, what are you going to pray for next week? Thinking, surely at some stage you've got to pray that he gets healed. And I just said, no, mate, I'll pray for whatever he wants me to pray for. And I just always remembered You know, sometimes, I'm going to read another passage. Luke 4, 16 to 21. This is Jesus speaking. It says, when Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that their time of the Lord's favour has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day in me. Beautiful. You know, that's Isaiah 61 that he reads. But I love it because if you read the whole of Isaiah 61, you see there's a huge exchange that goes on between negative things and positive things, that Jesus came to take this off you and give you this. And it really just shows a whole picture of healing. Even in the bit that he just read there, it talks about the blind seeing, physical stuff. It talks about captives being released, spiritual stuff. We're only captives to the enemy, to the devil, yeah? And bring good news to the poor, poor of heart. Bind up the brokenhearted. And that's the inside stuff, isn't it? You know, sometimes when God's touching one area, he touches other areas. I think sometimes they're all connected. Sometimes we're believing for a physical healing, but we get from having inner healing, we get the physical healing we're looking for. And, I have some chronic illnesses that I've had my whole life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I've been asthmatic since I was 6 months old. I'm sure there's other people that are asthmatic here. And, it doesn't control my life necessarily, but it's an issue that I've had prayed for many, many times. I'm still believing for the healing. I've had skin issues with dry skin and things that go on with that my whole life, 44 years. And, I'm still believing. I've been prayed for many times for that. Still believing for that. But, 2 years ago when I turned 42, I didn't have a very good year. And it's because my dad died when he was 42. And that was... So I realised that I was reacting and responding to things not right. And not that I was completely different, but I just realised that I wasn't how I normally am. And so I started to ask God, what's going on? You know, this is not who I am. Do I have some sort of imbalance in me or whatever, you know? And we can have conversations like that with Jesus, yeah? If he speaks to you and he walks with you, then why not have conversations like that with him? And so he starts to reveal to me that it's because I'm turning 42, because I turned 42, and that was the age that my dad was. And so I started saying, well, what have I said over myself? And he started to show me things inside that I'd said and whatever. So I thought, you know, I need to go and sit with someone and get some prayer. And so I went and saw someone and we're praying through things deep inside and particularly about that and what God had been telling me. And I got healing that day, deep inside. I got fresh vision and, I realised that I'd said certain things about ticking boxes in my life in case I died at 42. You know, God brought some truth that, he had a plan for my dad's life and that's not the same plan as for my life. He has a separate plan, yeah? So that brings healing when you get truth like that. You can start living differently. This is inner healing. But I'm telling that story so I can tell you another story. That my whole life I've been had a peanut allergy, anaphylactic. Yeah, I was allergic to peanuts before it was trendy. Now every second person, yeah, man, that's a peanut. Yeah, I was the weird kid because you don't like peanut butter, and you know, yeah. I didn't know anyone when I was young. That was not, you know, so I was weird. And I'm still a little bit weird. And a few weeks after sitting with someone and speaking things through about the healing that I needed to move forward just in life, I'm at Man Church here, the Church is awesome, and we have food there, and we're having sort of Thai food, you know, that Adam Petherick is always an awesome cook that we have. And we have Thai food there. And guess what? A Thai dish that I've always avoided is satay. Veronica loves satay. So that means that I don't get to kiss her or anything after that, which was maybe she did it on purpose. And I would just avoid it, you know. And, okay, you can have satay and that's good, you know. But I start eating the food that's there because I could usually smell peanuts from ages away. When I start eating one there, I think, this looks good. It's satay. But I didn't realise, because normally I could smell it. It didn't smell funny. When I'm eating it, and then Adam walks past me and goes, hey, Stu, don't eat the one on the ends. That's their satay. And I go, good on you, thinking he's having a bit of a dig at me about peanuts. And I go, good on you. And he goes, no, I'm being serious. And then he thought I was being stupid that I ate it. I said, I just ate it, you know. And so he goes, no, I'm being honest, that's satay. And I realised that other people said it was satay too. But because satay always tasted like, or smelled like spew to me. But I didn't realise that satay is sweet. Who knew? Yeah. And it was nice. And so I ate it. And guess what? I'm not allergic to peanuts anymore. Praise Jesus. But I don't think I've ever actually been prayed for healing of my peanut allergy. I've been prayed for those other things. But this was something chronic in my life that I've had my whole life, right? But in God bringing healing to something inside, he's brought healing outside. I can't explain it. I don't know. And I'm not going to tell you that come and talk about some things and you're going to get healed of your peanut allergy or whatever. I'm not sure. I'm just saying this is what happened to me. And I just realized that God's into the whole picture, the holistic picture of what's the greater need.